Good morning. Everybody feeling all right this morning? Good. Hey, listen, we're going to be in the book of Joshua today. I think we're going to be in Joshua just for a few weeks. There's a few things that the Lord has revealed to me this morning, or this week, that it's going to take more than just this morning to get us through it. So I don't intend on doing the entire book of Joshua, but we're going to go through and pick out a few things that God has revealed to me. What I love about God and the Holy Spirit and the way that they work together is how He puts things on other people's hearts that are almost identical to my heart. So He's using more than just me to speak and to do His will or His work. Matt and I, this morning, we could have tag-teamed this sermon. Okay, we could have really. I'm not in Chronicles, but the message is almost the same. So that is encouraging, and that also tells me that someone, or more than one someone, needs to hear it. Maybe it's me, maybe it's you, but that's how He works. That's how our God works, and He will speak to us. And God is so good and faithful to continue to do that. So before we get into the scripture this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we praise You. We thank You for You being You. God, we thank You for caring for us, for loving us. And Lord, I pray this morning that You would open our ears, open our hearts and our minds, and reveal to us what it is that You have for us. Speak plainly to us, Lord, so that we may understand. And we thank You for Your message. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go over a little bit about Joshua. If you don't know much about him, he was one of the spies that was sent out into Canaan, okay? He was, him and 10 other, or 11 other people were sent out. And they were to go and to spy on the land. They were to report back, what are the people like? What is the land like? You know, could we plow? Could we till? Could we be fruitful there? Or is it desolate? And then how many people are in the city? Are they battle ready? What's it like? And so these 12, they return, and two of them say, God's with us. We can take this city. We can take this city now. And Joshua was one of those people. And Caleb was the other. But the other 10, they said, oh, no. The land, yes, it surely does flow with milk and honey. But the people there are enormous. And they're strong. And they will surely kill us all. So they don't go. And so if you know the story, the Lord leads them in the wilderness for 40 years. So here's what I know about Joshua so far. He was at least young enough to be a spy, but to endure 40 years of exile, of wandering. Okay, so if he was a teenager, he's at least kind of, you know, in his 50s, which I would consider still young. All right, so he's okay. I don't exactly know how old he is. It doesn't really say. But I want you to get a picture of a guy that he was out in the wilderness growing and learning with the people as the Lord led them. Okay? He was a faithful servant to Moses and to the Lord. Can you imagine just for a second that you went and you saw this land and you know that God is going to make you prosperous? You know in your heart and in your mind that the Lord will be with you and you will be able to take that land. And for the leader to be like, I don't think so. Can you imagine for 40 years traveling around with these grumblers? Walk around all these people like, oh, woe is me. But he did it. And he did it faithfully. He served faithfully. That's a whole other sermon. That's a whole other side of the story. But I want you to understand, he was a faithful servant, not just to Moses, but to the Lord. He did what was uncomfortable. He did what he didn't want to do. And he did it for 40 straight years. With the company of people that were less than upbringing or positive. All right, and it's kind of like what Matt was sharing this morning in devotions. You know, there was these people that were just down. They just felt oppressed. And then so imagine thousands of them, what that environment would be like, right? And then Joshua's staying positive. He's like, it's okay. The Lord's with us. We can do this. So if you found Joshua, this isn't in the scripture, but I want to look at just this one thing. It's 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, he spoke to him. I'm jealous. Oh, man. I pray that every day God speak to me. And I think sometimes he doesn't audibly speak to me because I wouldn't necessarily be able to handle it. If think about yourself. If God literally spoke to you, could you handle it? But he did. He speaks to Joshua. He speaks to the Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. So our text today, it deals with, it's kind of at a climax. It's at a critical juncture in history, okay? Moses had led the people out of Egypt. They traveled around for 40 years in the wilderness. And if you've ever traced their path, they made a lot of circles. They just walked in. And I don't know how you don't pass by the mountain like, we saw that 2 years ago. Look, I saw that last year. I put that rock right there. It hasn't moved. You know, but they traveled around for 40 years. And now here they are. They can look over and they can see it. Moses had led them all the way there. Well, God had led Moses all the way there. However, Moses wasn't allowed to lead the people into Canaan. So Moses is now dead and Joshua has been called to lead the people of God, to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So he's trying to follow faithfully. And I want you to know, nowhere in our lives is it promised that we're going to lead a life of ease. Nowhere in our lives is it promised that it's going to be easy. Nowhere in our lives are we promised to just be happy. But can you imagine, for 40 years, you are walking around, and then you get to where you're supposed to be going, and you can look over and you can see it. You are so close, and then your leader dies. And then there's this young guy who you've despised for 40 years because he tried to get you to go in there 40 years ago, who takes over, and God is speaking to him. And God says, I'm going to use you, Joshua. I just want to set the stage. I want you to understand what it was probably like there. But there they are. They're looking over. And we're going to look at what God says to Joshua. We're going to read 6-9, and as always, I'm going to go back and just really kind of unpack it. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you get anything out of this sermon, take that last little sentence. God will be with you wherever you go. Now listen, he says to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. Can you, I'm trying to put myself in Joshua's shoes, and he's got thousands of people behind him, and he's getting ready to lead them into the promised land, which is occupied, and those people don't want the Israelites to come in. All right, so it's going to be a battle. There's going to be a war. It's going to be hostile. People are going to die. But God comes to him and says, basically, have no fear. I'm with you. What are you afraid of? I'm with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Be very strong. Or be strong and be very courageous. Be strong and courageous. He repeats himself 3 times in 3 verses. I think he wants Joshua to understand to be strong and courageous. It's a challenge of confidence, all right? God's power is unsurmountable. You know, we can't even fathom his power. And he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I think he even kind of whispered it like that. Shh, calm down. Be strong and courageous. I got this. I'm going to use you for my glory. And he whispers that to you daily. Be strong and courageous. I can use you. Look at Moses, all right? Moses, if you know about Moses, Moses was a murderer. He murdered someone in Egypt because they were whipping the Israelites. But still the same, he murdered them. But he used him to free his people from Egypt. And he used him for 40 years and brought him all the way through. Now, he didn't use him to go in the promised land because there are consequences for disobeying God. And if you know Moses' story, Moses was very frustrated with these people. Very, very, very frustrated. They whined and moaned more than probably your children do. And so they needed water. Moses appeals to God. God says, speak to the rock. Water will come out. He says, Moses basically says, you want water? Fine. And he hits the rock. It's not what God told him to do. He told him to speak it. And so because of his anger, he didn't get to lead them in. Still was used, though. I want you to hear that. You can be used. Your past is your past. It does not define you. It's what happened to you. What happens from here on out is how God will look at you. If you say yes today to his love, to his grace, that's where you start. He says, I will cast your sins as far as the east from the west if you will trust in me. Be strong and courageous and accept this gift, this grace. God's also telling Joshua, you're right, you can't do this on your own. You can't. But be strong and courageous and trust in me. I am with you. Now, you know, and that's easy to hear and easy to say, but he is literally about to lead his people into battle. And now there are fewer of them than when they started, because many of them were taken out either just by natural causes or they had died in some plagues, or, you know, because God dealt with his people the whole time he's taken them out. And there's probably fewer of them now than what left Egypt. So he's looking around and he says, man, the workers are few. We can do this. And then if you look around at the church, not necessarily our church, but the big church, we're getting smaller. Satan is systematically just picking people out of congregations all around the world and leading them to other places or just scattering them in general. And so our numbers are getting weaker and weaker. I would tell you, God tells us the same thing he tells Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I am with you. Because if you don't think we have a spiritual battle, I haven't done well preaching to you. Because right now there is a spiritual battle going on. There is a literal war going on for your soul and your salvation. And it's happening right underneath our noses. And some of us turn a blind eye and we don't see it. But some of us recognize it so much that it scares us. And we just kind of freeze. We're paralyzed in our fear. But God says, be strong and courageous. Okay. Look at God's provision too. Think about these people. For 40 years, they wandered around. Nothing to eat. Nothing to drink. But he did. He provided. He provided manna, which they complained about. He provided them water, which they complained about. But miraculously, their clothes didn't wear out or become too small or too big. And as they stand on the brink of the promised land, God had not brought them this far to abandon them or to perish in Canaan. This is their inheritance. And they're about to get it. So we face these difficulties that often seem insurmountable. We wonder at times if we'll make it. Sometimes we do feel like Job. We just feel like we're attacked, 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 attacked. But when you feel like that, just know that God did not change. He is the same today and tomorrow as He was yesterday. Our circumstances may change, but He will not. And He has a promise for us to be strong and courageous, and He will be with us. He will be with us. So in 6b, or the end of 6 there, he talks about inheriting the land that He swore to their forefathers to give them. He has this promise, and He's making good on His promise. I've been to a conference before called Promise Keepers, and it was all kind of about how God will make His promise, and even though it takes 40 years, and it may seem like He's never going to make good on it, He does every time. That gives me great hope for the future, because He has promised me as I go out into the world that He would be with me. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture proving that. That He's with His people, those who faithfully follow Him. So it's also, Joshua's being challenged to have deliberate courage. I don't want you to confuse ignorant courage with deliberate courage. Ignorant courage is it's that courage where you're just arrogant for no real apparent reason. You're just, I guess for lack of better terms, confident in yourself and your abilities. That is ignorance. You just don't understand where your courage comes from. But a deliberate courage is to have this demeanor about yourself, this acceptance that you will win because He is with you. You will make it over this hump. You will make it over the next doctor's appointment. You will make it through the next red-lettered mail that you get that says, you owe me money right now. You will make it to that next step because He is with you. Have deliberate courage to get from where you are to there, to the promised land, and then look back and say, wow, He really did move through that, didn't He? He really did use that, and He used me because I was willing. And I want to tell you, that's something about Joshua. He was willing to do what he was asked. He was willing to do what he was told, even though it scared him. Even though he was frightened. Let's look at 7 there. He says, be strong and very courageous. And then there's a warning that's issued. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. A lot of people, when they look at the law of Moses, and it's long, I'm not going to lie to you, there's a lot in the law of Moses. It's way more than the Ten Commandments, okay? There's a lot. But when they look at it, they feel constricted. They feel like there's this list of state do's and don'ts, okay? I want you to understand, though, it was given to liberate them. It was given to them to free them. It was given to them to free them of the burden of asking, what should I do in this situation? What should I do in this situation? What should I do here? God was very specific with the Israelites in the beginning because He wanted them to know, this is acceptable, this is not, go straight. He does that for us now, too. This is acceptable, this one is not, go straight. But He says, do not go to the right or to the left. Because when you start to stray from the law, or when you start to stray from God's will, that's when we kind of swerve a little bit, right? That's when we kind of get outside of what He's wanting us to do. And he warns us, and He warns Joshua, stay straight, don't go right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, I'm not saying if you stay inside God's will, you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not saying if you stay inside God's will, you're going to pass your test. What I am saying is you will be successful at life. There are people failing life. They're just failing. They're not doing well at it. They're not even trying to do well at it. Because they just go over here on the left, do whatever they want, Unless you're on the right. They go over on the right, do whatever they want to do. Go over here on the left, do whatever they want to do. But God says, do not stray left or right. Go straight. Be mindful. Follow the law. And then he says in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So there's a couple things here. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. So what's he telling Joshua? He says, continue to speak the truth. Continue to let out the truth of the law. Even when people don't want to hear it, continue to let the book of the law come out of your mouth. And for us today, that looks like us being courageous and taking a stand for truth. Taking a stand for what is written in the Scripture. And speaking. You know, I've preached to you and I've told you guys before, words are powerful. And once they come out, you can't get them back. But these are the words the Lord wants you to speak, the truth. He tells Joshua, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. I would tell you that he's telling us that too. Do not let his book not depart. Don't let it leave our mouth. It has to be in there always, speaking the truth. And he says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. How can you know what to do if you don't think about it, meditate on it, and look at it a lot? Not just once or twice. And I hammer this a lot, so I'm not gonna kick the horse again. But if you don't know what's in here, you can't speak it. And if you don't know what's in here, you can't live it. So there's only one way to figure it out. You got to look at it. And if that sounds like, or if that looks like listening to it on CD while you're driving in your truck or your car, do it. However you can get the word in here so that you can meditate on it, and in here so that you can live it, do it. He tells Joshua, if you do that, you will be prosperous and successful. And he ends with verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And that makes me think that Joshua might be saying, and he cuts him off. Have I not told you, be strong, be courageous? There's going to be that time in your life. You know this. You know what to do. You know you're supposed to be strong. You know you're supposed to act in courage. You know you're supposed to speak what's in the truth. You know you're supposed to meditate on it. And you're going to have that instance where you're like, but God, I had basketball practice. But God, I had a meeting to go to. But God, I had to work. But God, I only had 4 hours of sleep. But God, nothing. He says, have I not told you? Be strong, courageous. There is nothing in this world that he can't work through. There's nothing in this world that he can't win. And there's no reason he can't use you to accomplish it. All you have to do is say yes and be strong and courageous. Joshua does lead them across the border. We might get into that a little bit next week. Let's finish up 9, though. He says, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This brings me, it reminds me of the 23rd Psalm. You know, yea, as I walk through the valley of the shadow. Sometimes I repeat in King James. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they guide me and comfort me. Do not be afraid of the valleys. Because let me tell you, when you go through the valley and you go up the mountain and you get to the top of the mountain, you appreciate being at the top of the mountain. You appreciate looking back and saying, wow, I got there. The person that was dropped on the top of the mountain does not appreciate how they got there. They will not rejoice in that because they think maybe they did it. But we know as we walk through the valley, as we are terrified and we get to the top of that mountain, that we can rejoice and say, praise God, you did it. You did this. There is absolutely no way these Israelites should have been able to cross the Jordan, go into Canaan, and be victorious. It just doesn't make sense. They shouldn't have been able to do that. You know, they're farmers and just what they were laborers, but they were in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years. Their skills have dulled. And I know that's weighing heavily on Joshua's mind. He's a military leader now. He's thinking strategically. He's looking at his opponent. He's looking at his people saying, I don't know, God. I don't know. You said, but I don't know. You said you would go with me, but will you really? And that's why God reiterates three times, be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. That's not just a promise to Joshua, guys. That's a promise to us. Be strong and courageous. He's going to be with us. And there's a couple of little tidbits in there of how we can be faithful to Him. How we can answer yes. You know, we can meditate on the law. We can meditate on the Bible. We can keep Scripture, the truth, in our mouths. We can courageously profess our beliefs. Last week, you know, I talked to the graduates about persecution. And I talked to us about persecution. And, you know, and I said, we're going to be persecuted. And that's going to look different for us based on our age. But be glad of your persecution. I can't remember who said this, but this is a quote that I used to have on my mirror. If you don't stand up for something, you will fall for everything. I can't remember who said that. I wish I could so I could give them credit. But that's so true. If we don't stand up for something, we're going to fall for everything. And as we face persecution, as we go through the valley, guys, these are dark times in our world right now. And they're only going to get worse based on what Scripture says. It's only going to get worse. So as we go through this, know two things. One, God's going through it with us. And two, we're not alone because we're going through it together. And as we unite as the body of Christ, as churches join together in unity under Christ, we will be able to profess the Lord and stand for our beliefs, for our God. And we'll be able to take the proverbial Canaan back. Because I've read to the end of the book, I know what happens. He wins. He wins. He comes back and he wins. I already know. And so what I would tell you is, and this is kind of cliche, but when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Yeah. When he says, oh, hey, you know, you were so bad. Yeah. You lose. You know what that makes you feel better? Makes you feel better. Yeah, I was bad, but my God wins. So, and my God loves me. So I get to win. I won through association. You know, I'm on Team God. We're going to win this. So guys, we're going to have trying times in our lives. And I want us to look at Joshua. And I want us to have that kind of faith that... Joshua was probably nervous because he told him three times, be strong and courageous. It's okay to have feelings. It's okay to look at a situation and be like, I don't know about that one. But then to realize, you know what? God has promised me before that if I just put my faith and trust in Him, that He will get us through it. And let me tell you, that doesn't always work out the way you want it to work out. That does not always look like what the picture you have. You know, if you're anything like me, I paint this little perfect picture of what everything's going to look like. And I know what, and I just tell God, hey, if you could make this look like I want it to look like, we're good. I know you promised you're going to be with me. It doesn't always work out like that. Because He has something better. He has something better in mind. Now, had the Israelites been faithful 40 years ago before they wandered around, He had something really big in mind for them. But it took them some time to learn. I pray each and every day that it does not take you 40 years to get to the promise, to get to where He's taken you. I pray that as you go on your journey through life, that you stay straight, that you don't sway left or right as you consider the rules, as you consider the law. God's will is not to constrain you. It is to free you of sin. Satan's rule is to constrain you, to bind you, to put you in chains and shackles so that it prohibits your movement. If your legs are shackled and your hands are handcuffed together, it's going to be really hard to do much. But God says, here's how you throw that off. It's in here. You'll hear it Sunday mornings. But if you treat church, I don't know. Okay, I'll say it. If you treat church like you go to the hospital and you get an IV for some fluids, and then an hour later you go home and you're going to live on that for a week, you have a twisted understanding of how God works and how your life will go. Because usually by Wednesday, most people are empty. He is the bread of life. He will replenish you. All you got to do is eat it, consume it, take it in. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I pray for courage. I pray for strength, Lord. As we consider the task that you've put before us, God, we need you. We need you to do a work in us. And I praise your name for it, Lord. And I thank you for it. God, I pray that when we get to those hard places, that we could hear you tell us, be strong and courageous. I'm with you. God, because we know that you can do anything. And if we trust in you, that you will bring us through it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If for some reason you haven't accepted this free gift of grace, if you haven't accepted this power that God is trying to give you, or if you haven't recognized his promise to you that he will be with you always, I would love to talk with you and pray with you about that. I'm going to be up front. Some of the elders are going to be up front here too. There's going to be people in the back to pray with you. We really want to love on you and pray with you and talk to you about that, because God has promised us something really big, and it's very easy to grab a hold of. And I would love to pray with you about that. So I'm going to ask the elders to come up front. If you have any other prayer requests or anything else that we need to talk about or to pray about, we are here for you. We don't stand here and judge you. We stand here and lift you up. We walk through the darkness with you. So if you guys would stand, we're going to sing one more song, and we'll be up here to pray with you.